All right, we are on the air. This is Big Tuna, episode Siete. We're getting to those numbers where it's hard for me to actually say it.
That sounded so Spanglish, dude.
Siete. Well, then you say it. Pull it
out. I
don't
know how to say it. I'm redneck, dude. I don't know how to say that.
Siete.
I can't speak in Espanol.
Siete.
I should learn it. I should learn it. It would be good. It'd be good for me.
It might be helpful for us to learn it, but... either way, who knows, man. But anyway, we're here today talking about Coronas Gordas.
Coronas Gordas.
Juan Lopez.
Yeah, our buddy Johnny.
Our buddy John Lopez, man. So, what are you smoking right now there, brother?
I am smoking an El Rey de Mundo Choy Supreme, which is a Robusto.
Nice.
One of my favorite, I might add. I think it's amazing. I really need to review it. I might add that I look rather angelic tonight. You notice that?
Angelic?
I'm very much like have this white aura going on. And yesterday, some dude in the B&M, I was at the shop last night, and some dude was like, "You look huge online." I was
you
like, "What?"
And
yeah, I guess apparently they watched the show before, and he was like, "You look really big online." I was like, "Okay, whatever, dude." I don't know. I thought it was pretty funny. It was interesting. And so then now today when I'm looking at it, it's like all this white light is. It must be surrounding the El Rey de Mundo.
It must be, man.
Means. I don't know what that means, but I like the word Mundo.
Mundo's a good word, man. Mundo is a good word.
So what
King
are you
of the world, man.
What are you smoking? Is that what it means? Is that what it means, King of the World?
King of the World, man.
Oh, nice. Yeah, no, I really like it.
El Rey, the Rey, del Mundo, the world.
Interesting, interesting. So what's in on your menu tonight for
smoking
your palate?
Smoking Juan Lopez, number two.
Oh, yeah.
Number
How
two.
How's the Robo? That's the Robusto, right?
It's pretty darn tasty, and it's only a year old, and it's pretty darn tasty. Okay. I'm thinking this thing's going to smoke like a champ in years to come.
Yeah, you know, I've neglected from looking into that Vitola because the number ones are so freaking good, you know what I mean, that it's like...
It's, hey, why try something that may bring down that brand for you?
Apparently I need more Johnny in my life is what you're telling me.
You need more Johnny. So, no, it's actually really darn tasty. But this is just a great brand. I love it. So,
cool.
I think we should just get right into talking about Juan Lopez since we were going to focus on Juan Lopez Celestia number one, the Corona Gorda. Might as well start talking about the brand and the little piece of history that we have on it.
You should, because I totally forgot to bring up my review, so I'm going to do that right now while you're talking.
You can bring it up. So... Juan Lopez is a brand that is a local brand and it has a very small market share. And when Habano says it has a very small market share, it just means that there's very few places that really have them around. You know, just some shops carry them, some shops don't. It depends on the market that it does well. But there's three Vitolas in there. There's a Petit Corona. Which one of the guys in the forum just got a box of, and they looked gorgeous.
Yeah, he was, that's Simon, I believe, and he was really, like,
Simon. Simon was digging
it. Is. He was really digging the ones from 2011, I want to say.
So, Simon was smoking some, he got some Petit Coronas. There, and the other two, there's the Corona Gorda, and then there's the Robusto, which is Celestion number one and Celestion number two, respectively. And these are both, those two are both 1990s releases. So these are cigars probably released during the boom, or a little bit before the boom, I don't know. And have continued to do well for the brand. And I think they probably brought the brand back.
Well, there was, you know, when we were looking into a bunch of the different Vitolas, there was all these little small ones.
Very small.
And it looked like a bunch of them were discontinued in the early 2000s, mid-2000s.
Yep.
So... I think you have a good point there, even though neither of us really probably should comment, but I think you have a good point there that those Vitolas probably held the brand together.
Oh, because
they
put
those out in the 90s, and all the only thing that was there before was a bunch of little small guys that were all in the 40-42 range, you know.
Yeah, and then
they released these two.
They got rid of those. Now they just have the, you know, basically they just kept those 90s releases plus Petit Corona. And this is a brand that has gotten a lot of regional editions all over the world, and it's not just one market. So it's not like Asia Pacific has gotten them, Germany's gotten them, England's gotten them. They do very well all over. So
it's kind of weird because it's a local brand, right?
Very local, yeah, local brand.
So which means it's only technically sold in Cuba, right? Or that's really where the I don't know what the definition of local brand is. You know that.
It's very limited in where it is. It's not one of those things like it's readily available everywhere. It's only, you know, you have to bring it in.
Dude, there's a bunch of drunk golfers out today, bro.
I can hear it. It sounds great.
Oh, everybody's just completely wasted on the golf course today. It's pretty hilarious. Anyways,
So you can get it. It's not one of those brands that's as easy to find. You know, like a Cohiba, it's easy to find. You know,
it just strikes me as odd because how there's so many regional edition, like cool regional cigars that came out. Like I was looking at the Perfector that came in a jar, you know, and that just looked like the most freaking awesome regional ever. And I've heard nothing but good things about most of the regionals from them. And just like something with such a, you would think that a cigar with such a broad appeal to all these different regions that are constantly getting regional releases would be more than local. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean you'd think. I mean I smoked the Asia Pacific 2010. I smoked one of them. I was able to get one of them. Very good. Uh-huh. You know, I didn't review it, but very good cigar. Never got more. I probably could have. I just didn't go to it. But yeah, I mean, I've heard nothing, but I was telling you before, the double Robusto that got made for Great Britain, people raved about it. And to be honest with you, I think Cigar Aficionado even gave it a really high rating, if I recall correctly. That's just if I recall. But, you know, it's a line that originates from the 1870s by a man of Juan Lopez Diaz. So any man that names a brand off of him is an arrogant motherfucker, but he made a good line with it, though.
I mean, I don't know. Like, I just now I want to know more about Juan Lopez. Like, he's like the international man of mystery right now to us. You know?
He is. It's like let's find out more.
Yeah, I mean, you hear, like, Alejandro Romano, there's all sorts of information, you know, obviously him being the godfather, you know. Bolivar, yeah. Simon Bolivar, there's all sorts of information. But then you just got, like, Juan Lopez, like, who was this dude, like, just chilling on the street corner, straight up street pimping, like making his own cigars and starts his brand or what? Like, we don't know. I don't know.
I mean, there's more stories with a lot of these people, like H. Upman. There's a story behind
it. Yeah. I'm totally good. Next time I talk to anybody in the industry who's from the island, I'm going to ask them if they know anything about the history of Juan Lopez. You know what? I know who I'll contact. My buddy who's a historian. He's writing a book right now on the history of Cuban cigars. I'm gonna send him an email and see if he knows anything. Because if anybody would know, I would think either he would know or he would know who to ask. You know what I mean?
He'd have an idea what's going on. The other one is Rafael Gonzalez. If that's a real guy, I feel like he was just a dirty motherfucker. That's just my opinion on him. So
why do you say that? Because you don't like his cigars?
Because I didn't like one cigar, you think it's just Rafael Gonzalez. It's like, look at that name. It's just boom. For some reason, it's just you look at it.
I love their box. I think their box is the coolest box because it has the.
They have a note which says like you need to smoke this now or put it away.
Yeah, it says either smoke it now or put this down for like a year. You know what I mean? It's kind of cool. I think I put it up on. Let me see if I can find. Well, I can find it another time. But I put it on.
You put it up. I've seen it before.
Our episode that we did the packaging material on. Which episode was that? Do you remember?
Dose. Wait a minute. Maybe it's Trace. It's one of those. But yeah, I know what you're talking about. I mean, I just feel like Juan Lopez is chilling like a pimp. You know, you got H. Upman who's chilling like a banker, and then you got Sancho Panza and Rafael Gonzalez who are just like kicking it in the street, dirty motherfuckers. That's my personal opinion on the whole matter.
That is hilarious.
Jose Piedra is just doing something.
Yeah, who's Jose Piedra, dude? Who's Jose Piedra? That's the guy that I really want to know who Jose Piedra is, honestly.
Jose Stone, man. Jose Stone. So.
Anyways, we're rambling about a bunch of bullshit.
You can't make these names up. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, well, it looks like I'm trying to find this show that I did this on, so I'll see if I can find it real quick. Anyways. So, so we should talk about the... Oh, here we go. Okay, hold on. I'll share it. The beauty of technology. Screen share. Boom.
Yeah, there it is. Oh, yeah. Yeah, Marquee. It
says, these cigars have been...
In order that the connoisseur may fully appreciate the perfect fragrance, they should be smoked either within 1 month of the date of shipment from Havana, or should be carefully matured for about 1 year.
Dude, look at that guy's autograph, bro.
That's fucking pimping, man. Maybe I'm wrong about Raphael.
I think you're wrong. It might be Juan Lopez who's actually the street criminal.
he's a smooth criminal. You know, that packaging has been like that for a long time. You have to think. Mm-hmm. I know we're getting off topic. We're talking about Rafael Gonzalez right now. But you know, that's gotta be on there for a long time. Don't you think we should probably take this off because maybe people are actually gonna read this and do this? Have you ever followed the directions of the box?
Well, they should. I mean, you should. That's the reality of it. Is
smoke
you
it really should. I mean, or just rest it.
I mean, okay. For instance, this week I retaught myself a lesson that I teach myself all the freaking time, and basically, what it comes down to is. Oh, I'm losing my train of thought because I'm looking at this Rafael Gonzalez. Basically, what it comes down to is I can't tell you how many times I've bought a box of cigars and smoked one or two of them in the first, 2 to 3 months and just been like, these kind of suck, and then pawn them off, get rid of them, you know what I mean? And then only to find out, 6-7 months later, I smoke one and I'm like, this is ridiculous.
This is the tits. So,
like this week specifically, which I think we should add this to our show. I think somebody mentioned it, but we should add this to our show. Like, what is smoking good for you this week? You know, and this week I had a Punch Petite Coronation, which is, it's a little tubo, about the same size as a Partagas Short, right? It might be a 40 ring gauge, whatever. It's freaking phenomenal, dude. And the last two I've had were just unbelievable. And so I was looking through my random box where I just have all sorts of random crap thrown in there. And I found I only have a couple left, and I'm just sitting there crying, you got to be kidding me. These are so good. Why do I only have a few of them left? Because, and I can't remember who I said it to, but I was like, I think somebody else had bought a box of something recently, and I just told him, dude, I don't care if you don't like them right now. Wait 6 months, because in 6 months, you never know. So the Rafael Gonzalez thing, waiting a year, I think is a really, really good thing to do, because most of these cigars, there's very rarely, there's only one box that I've ever bought of, Diplomatico specifically, that I could think of that just continues to suck year after year after year, you know, and even though I've had aged ones that are phenomenal, and it's like, I know this box is going to get good in three more years, it just sucks waiting.
Oh,
Most Habanos, if you wait a year, they're going to be good. And so I think it's really, you should at least wait, note to self and to everybody out there, at least wait 6 months to a year before you think something completely sucks balls, you know, because there are the Sancho Panzas out there in the world that really do just suck no matter what, however long you age them, or the Cuavas, but man, this week it was funny, I had a Partagas Mielfleur. The first one I had off the truck was freaking unbelievable, second one off the truck, unbelievable, this one a month later completely sucked donkey balls, which I'm going to review that one, of course. And then the Punch, which I thought completely sucked balls right off the truck, was just fantastic. And I'm cursing myself for getting rid of the majority of that box because they just matured into such a fine cigar that I need to restock. So,
you know, it's funny because, you know, I was smoking I smoked two Olla Petite Robustos, which, you know, and I'm
that's right. How were they? What'd you think?
You know, have you smoked them?
Yeah, I have.
They are very, you know how we've talked about Olla de Monterey is a diverse brand, and you can have like a lighter Olla and a stronger Olla.
Mm-hmm.
For some reason, I went into this Petite Robusto thinking, man, this is just going to be light, and it's just going to be flavorful, and it's going to be easy. And I smoked it, and I was like, wow, that's not the case at all. It's not that it was too much, but it had some kick to it. And
yeah, absolutely.
It wasn't my favorite Olla. But it's a great size. I love the size. The size is terrific. So I don't know. I mean, maybe it just needs a lot of years. Maybe it's
put them down. Olla really wakes up after a few years, so put them down. The ones that I had, they weren't really like super memorable off the top of my head, but I remember them being a little bit more powerful. So.
Yeah, it had some strength to it. It definitely had some strength to it. And then I smoked just a bunch of a Juan Lopez, just because. You know, I had those Celestia.
Because he's a dirty street pimp, that's why.
He's a dirty street pimp, and I needed to get one up, and I was like, gosh, man. I just kept smoking them, because they're just tasty as hell. But I smoked some, and then, you know, when I start smoking Juan Lopez Corona Gordas, I'm like, oh, I'm going to have some St. Louis Rays, and then I get some St. Louis Rays.
We should go get drunk in Mexico and get Juan Lopez tattoos or something. Yeah, that'd be great.
You know what would be better is Sancho Panza tattoos.
No, not Sancho Panza. No, come on, Sancho Panza. Juan Lopez.
We'll have to find out what this Juan Lopez guy looked like, and we'll get like you've seen Jackass, right? Remember when Steve-O got that full body tattoo on him on the back?
We'll get
that of Juan Lopez. So
we can find a picture of him. That would be great.
Yeah, give him two thumbs and everything.
That would be awesome. That would be completely awesome.
But
so
anyways,
we should talk about this selection number one. We've been completely off track now for
it's been
20 minutes.
20 minutes. It's been great.
Rambling bullshit.
So Celestia number one. Let's talk about it. I mean, how old? The one I smoked was from 2011.
Same here.
So, and I'll tell you one thing. These have done well. With age, but I can really see them getting a lot better in years to come. And I know they have, because I've smoked a couple of 07s and 08s, and they're terrific.
I have, let me see here, in the first third I have I have hints of pepper, musk, light and creamy, light roast latte, citrus, cashews.
Wow.
So, I mean, that's a pretty ridiculous first third. And then the second third, I saw a distinct shift. Tons of citrus, sharp cedar, white pepper. Latte flavors really hit the back of my tongue. Oh, I remember what this. Orange peel. I have orange peel in here. This is a review I did a long time ago, too. Cumin, because the white pepper was more earthy. Tea.
Man, you really had a Juan Lopez that was all over the place. It was terrific.
Final third turned it a little bit grassier, so it was more of a green pepper, like an Anaheim. Still citrus and latte, specifically and it's a little bit of coriander. I remember it blew my mind. I mean, I remember the first one I had blew my mind, and I immediately bought more, and then they just always blew my mind. A lot of notes, and I mean, really, like, for me, I think it's the amount of notes that kind of stand out to me in the blend, that make the blend really pop to me.
You know, I like that you said musk, because it's really, there's this, like, you know, I always say old school flavors, and when I say old school flavors, I always picture myself in a countryside, and I'm in a barn, and it's been really hot, and it just rained, so it's really humid, so it's like damp wood, and damp hay, and earth. And that's what I got with it.
Well, really, when I relate like those kind of flavors to, that's where I relate the green peppers of Anaheim or coriander. You know, when I get that kind of grassy-ish, like, I mean, grass to me, when I taste grass or I note grass, to me that's a young cigar and it tastes nasty. You're like, I don't want to be smoking grass. in a cigar, really.
Yeah, I see what you're saying.
You know what I mean? It's so I look at it as when they start to turn that, give you those green flavors, either they turn into grassy flavors, which I think kind of suck, or they kind of remind me of your cilantro, coriander, cumin, nutmeg, Anaheim, green bell pepper, those kind of peppers, sometimes a poblano when it kind of mixes with that. You know, like a roasted poblano, for instance, if I throw that in a cream sauce, which is really, really, you know, something you see at a lot of fine dining restaurants. You'll see French sauces where they throw roasted poblano in. You get that kind of like green, real mellow spice with that charred flavor to it, you know, that's freaking awesome. And cigars like this are where I start finding really, really developed notes like that. And when you combine that with citrus, and I remember the, like, I'm real weird about coffee. This one reminded me, there's this completely, you know, snobbery shop, coffee shop in Mammoth Lakes, California. And Mammoth is a real big ski resort. If you haven't heard of it, it's like one of the biggest ski resorts on the West Coast. And there's this
shop. Hold on, so like it's like snobby coffee
so
shop?
Like, oh, so this coffee shop is like complete snobbery, right? Like just the most snob, like you just want to walk in. I personally just want to walk in and just start punching people. Not that I'm a violent human being, but these are the kind of people that need to get punched, right? For no reason. Just because they're stupid.
Just because of the beans, man. They love their beans.
And well, they only do light roast beans, and I'm all for light roast. Like I love light roast, and I think I told you I've been arguing with Akil from Regis over which one of his beans is better. I think his light roast is better, and he just can't come to grips with that. But anyways, they have some of the most, because they only do light roast, they have the most phenomenal light roast there. Problem is everything's light roasted. So if you don't know which ones to get, you'll get like these crappy light roasts that have no depth. But the ones that are really good that they do are just the most phenomenal. They have the most phenomenal cappuccino, phenomenal macchiato, latte, depending upon what you want. And they do everything by the percolators and what's it called? I can't remember the little stupid little glass thing. Whatever. But I can't remember the name off the top of my head. I have one in there, but I don't use it all the time because it takes forever. But anyways, that's what it reminded me of.
Oh, and press? That, and press? Oh, French
press? No, not French press. It's got a funky name. I know what exactly. It's a little thing like this, a little glass thing like this, and you put your little cone in there and drop your coffee in it. It's just a pain in the ass to do.
Oh, wow. But, man, this is a snobby coffee shop.
Mm-hmm. But anyways, the best coffee, best light roast coffees on earth. And very, very rarely I will taste those kind of notes in a cigar to where I go, wow, that reminds me of the best coffee ever. Because I always go up there and I get coffee, and I can't smoke there because they're assholes. So I just always go grab one and then haul ass back home so I can smoke immediately on this little teeny tiny patio that we have on the condo. It's like, you know, it's big enough to like have maybe two chairs on it.
Yeah.
And I always, always, always have to pair. When I go hiking up there, I always have this. First thing I do is I haul ass over there, get a coffee, and smoke a cigar, you know, Habanos with it. And they unbelievable. Unbelievable.
It's very
But that's what it reminded me of. So there's my rambling bullshit about light roast coffees and coffee snobs. Coffee snobs are assholes. You know.
They are, man. Coffee snobs are terrible. I mean, cigar snobs are annoying. Winos are just a pain in the ass. But when it comes to coffee, it's like seriously, it's like
they're mean. They're mean as hell, dude.
Oh yeah, when they get in their coffee, it's like, well, you know, it's in the morning. It's that AM shit. You know, they're freaking tired. But yeah, man. So
I need 4 to 6 cups every morning. Don't get me wrong, but
there's a point. When it's just like, oh, camera shake. I mean, there's a point of when it's like, wow, just chill. So
we were talking about the...
We are just getting off topic like no other tonight.
The most off-topic show we've ever had, but...
We were talking about Juan Lopez Celestia, number one, then we started talking about coffee beans. But yeah, no...
Because it reminded me of the greatest like coffee that I've had on Earth. I mean, so that's... If that, to put that in perspective for everybody, the best light roast... I think of this coffee shop as the best light roast coffee shop that I've ever been to, really. Other than there's one other place that has really, really good Ethiopian beans that I've found. This place has the best Tanzanian, hands down, best from Peru, and that's what the Juan Lopez reminds me of. So if I can put that in perspective for anybody who's watching, that's how good I think. I think this cigar is as good as the best coffee that I've ever had. Period.
Well, I mean, you know, you look at the Celestia number one, and it's one of seven Corona Gordas that's in production for Cuba. So
did you have seven? Is there seven total? I have the list.
There's seven total. And
one, two, three, four, five, six, seven. Yep.
And I've had all seven of them. Have you had all seven?
No. And what's funny is when I was looking up the seven up there, which I'll tell them to everybody, there's the Hoyo Epicure number one.
Well, we'll go down the list. We're going to go down the list.
You want to go down the list?
Yeah, man. All right, so Cohiba Siglo 4, have you ever had it?
Yeah, what do you think?
I enjoyed them. I've had a couple of them. I really enjoyed them. You know, I was on my honeymoon, and it was, but I was really, I really liked them. They're better than the Robustos. Maybe not as good as the Siglo 6s, but I love Corona Gordas to begin with, so I really enjoyed them. I don't think they're as good as Juan Lopez, but I enjoyed them. I don't know. It's not the top of the list, but it's good. What about you?
For the price, I think it sucks balls.
Well, yeah, okay. Well, yeah.
So price that's expensive. Just my 2 cents. I don't think they're worth the price at all. When I consider versus a Juan Lopez, and if you're going to tell me that this Siglo 4 needs to age for like a decade, and then they wake up and they're just the most amazing thing on earth, that's great now, because they're expensive now, and then when they get to be anywhere from 5 to 10 years old, everybody wants double retail form anyway, so they can suck off and have all that crap. I ain't smoking that shit.
That's your, all right, Romeo Exhibicion number 3. I'm reading them off a list, which is down here, that's why I'm off.
That's fine.
I smoked it. Was not really blown away. Romeo's a tough brand for me.
You know, it's funny because, I'll be honest, I've never even heard of it.
Really?
Yeah, like, I mean, you know, I thought it was kind of funny because when I looked up I looked up all of them today as well, you know, just to make sure that we touched on all of them, and I'm like, you know, Romeo's got a lot of, they got a lot of stuff in their
brand. They have.
It's a very big market, you know. But really, like, I've never heard of that one, and I mean that, you know, it, hanging around all the forums and all the different discussion forums and all this and all these Habano smokers, nobody talks about that cigar.
No, I mean,
have you ever heard anybody go, oh, man, my favorite Romeo is the number 3, dude, it just rules, it's so good. Have you ever heard that? Exactly.
No,
I mean, it must really suck.
I bought a box because it's Coronas, and this was Corona Gordas. It was really early on. And it's one of those dress boxes, so they're box pressed a little bit. And I was like, man, this is disappointing for this. This is disappointing. They didn't suck. I just wanted more from them, so I just passed them around. I was like, hey, you want a Cuban? You want a Cuban? So that's what I did with those, and you know, that's where it went from there.
Interesting.
So it wasn't nothing to write home about. You know, next one, since we're going down the big brands, Oya, Epicure number one.
Mm-hmm.
What are your thoughts?
I think more importantly, we should read what Guy's thoughts are.
Oh, that's right. Someone just talked about this.
I know. I think I'm going to pull it up, but I'll tell you what I thought of it.
I've only smoked them in the tubes. I've only smoked the 3 of them. I got a tube.
Back. Being a Hoyo fan, I think it's a good smoke. I really liked it. I can't say I disliked it. I think the Epicure Special is a better cigar, though. So for me, I wouldn't necessarily revisit it. You know what I mean? If that makes sense.
You think there's a better smoke out there with the Epicure Special, and I dig it.
You know what I mean?
It's a little bit bigger, but it's not a Corona Gorda, but you think it's a better Oya. I can completely back that.
Hold on, let me see if I can I gotta find it, dude, because, I mean, let's go on to the next one, because I'll dig out and find out what my man Guy said on it, because Guy is the expert when it comes to that.
Guy is the expert when it comes to many things.
So all go right. to the next one. Let's go to the next one.
The next one's easy. H. Upman Magnum 46. We both fucking love it. It's probably one of the best Corrado's on the mark. No point in even talking about it. Moving on. I mean, it's like we're known as H. Upman whore. Someone called me an H. Upman whore the other day, and I was like,
"Did they? It's a good person."
Yeah, they're like, "You guys are H. Upman whores." So the next one, moving on, punch, punch, punch.
Yeah.
You know, this is interesting. I like the punch, punch, punch.
Me too.
It's punch and then it's punch, punch. Can't remember. Maybe there's two or three punches. I can't remember. But I've heard a lot of people say that they don't even think it's the best punch, and disregarding the double corona.
Yeah, what, dude? I love punch. Punch punch is bomb.
Alright, so, I mean, and then I heard someone get into a disagreement with me over the fact that they think the petite coronations are better, so, oh well, that's where we are with that one.
Well, they like the petite coronations, so the person isn't completely retarded, but, you know, I can't say that they're...
I like punch punch. I think it's...
Dude, I mean, here's that is a cigar that, like the Mag 46, the Mag 46 is a cigar that truly you need to age it to appreciate it. And if you've experienced it over the course of 2 years aging, 3 years aging, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years aging, then you will understand how freaking amazing that cigar is. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And
the punch punch, I mean, I have some that look like they're the ugliest cigars ever. I smoked one on one of the shows here. And I don't remember which episode it was, but you can literally retrohale the entire cigar. You can retrohale the entire draw. It is so freaking smooth and just unbelievable. And most punch, in my opinion, really, really do need, they need time. And yeah, some of them only need a year or two, and then they just wake up and they're freaking amazing. Some of them need 4 or 5 years, and then they wake up and they're amazing. But I personally, the punch punch is freaking amazing. It's one of the best classic Habanos out there, period, hands down. I don't care what anybody says.
Boom. You know
what I mean? Just disagree with me on a year, fine, whatever. Age it another year. But and then get back to me. But I have some that are the ugliest looking green. They look like almost like Candela wrappers. They're so ugly, and they're just fantastic. And then I have some from, those are from 2007, and I think I have some from 2010 that are just unbelievable as well. They have that more reddish Colorado hue, you know.
Oh, yeah. All right. We're talking about Juan Lopez. We're going to skip that one. We'll go to that one last. St. Louis Ray, Serie A.
Mmm.
My opinion.
Give me your opinion.
Okay. St. Louis Ray is a very limited market. You have your double Coronas, which I won't even get into them because it's a love-hate relationship with those fuckers.
Yeah, me too.
Actually, I'm going to fucking get into it. They come in 50-count boxes, so you really got to commit. You know what I mean? You really got to commit. And I'm going to be honest to everyone out there. When you buy a box of these, you're either going to get a beautiful box of double Coronas. Like, it's going to be incredible, probably some of the best double Coronas you've ever smoked. Or you're going to get the shittiest box of double Coronas on the face of the planet.
Mm-hmm. And you guys spend like $600 to get them. Or however much.
And because of that, I am done with them, and I'm never going to even bother dealing with them. So then you're left with the Regios, the Robusto, and the Corona Gorda, which is like, oh man, you're like in a Juan Lopez boat. And the Regios, the Robusto, is just not as consistent as the Corona Gorda. So St. Louis Ray, I like it.
Really?
I think it's like an affordable Partagas, and they offer it in a Corona Gorda format.
I haven't. You know what? I'll be honest. I remember having one once, but my palate was young for Habanos at the time, so I didn't remember loving it, but I didn't remember disliking it. So it's one of those that I need to revisit. You know what I mean? That's why I was interested to get your take on it because I like the double Coronas I've had. I had one from a buddy of mine that was fantastic, and then I grabbed a couple, you know, on a split, and they freaking sucked donkey balls.
Oh yeah, they're terrible.
And I think it was the same year as well. So I was like, oh yeah, I've had that. That was great. Sure. They sucked.
It doesn't matter. I mean, you could get the same, you could have the same year, same month, same box code, and for some reason they'll suck.
Weird.
And I just don't get it. I'm gonna fly down to Cuba and I'm gonna figure it out.
You're gonna find Juan Lopez and go like whoop some ass.
Juan Lopez and I are gonna straighten this shit out. That's what we're gonna do.
Find his grandson, dude.
Yeah.
Put those bitches in check.
Juanito Lopez. but it's so St. Louis Ray, it's you know.
So what do you got next? What do you got next?
Well, the next is just Juan Lopez. It's the last one. Juan Lopez, we're talking about.
You didn't tell me. There is one. There's one that you're missing. There's one that you are missing.
That is incorrect. What am I missing? Not. Then what am I missing?
Ramon Alonso Superiores, which is an LCDH. So technically it's not, but it's current. It's a current LCDH that's been out for a while.
Okay, I'll give you that.
It's been out for a couple years, hasn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, I haven't looked up. I can look up and see how long it's been around.
I think it's been like 2 years or so. You got me. You stumped the Schwab. So. Have you ever smoked it?
No, I haven't. And you know they've been popping up at your friendly neighborhood local LCDH for about $10 a pop these days, and.
That's not bad.
No, and so it's been one of those that I've been meaning to try. I think one of our viewers, Kevin, I know he had picked some up when he was at his friendly neighborhood.
That's right, he did. I remember seeing those. I'm like, wow, those look pretty. You know, I always
struggle. Yeah, they look really good, and they look really good. Everybody seems to be really, really happy with them. Let me see if I can find out. Hold on. They have a, like Juan Lopez, they have a ton of regionals, so. Scrolling through.
Yeah, Ramon Iones is you know, that it's another brand. It's like Juan Lopez. It's somehow a small brand, but yet people love them and they want to do regional editions with them.
Says it's a 2010 release. 5,000 matches made, but I mean, I know for sure right now everybody's raving about the Mirror 13. Boxes of them, so they're still getting produced regardless.
Habanos doesn't know what they're doing. They're still making them, even though they only made 5,000. They're still making them.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I mean, I'm not surprised about it.
It's kind of like the Cohiba 1966, you know, limited edition 2011, and people getting box codes from 2012 and 2013, and they're like, what? Not so limited. When they can get $50 a piece for them.
Yeah, when it's selling, we'll make it. So
exactly.
Yeah, I won't put too much stock in it. I mean, I'm not going to say it on the air, but I'll tell you afterwards why I'm not surprised that they're still making them even though they were supposedly limited. So it's in regards to non-Cubans. But yeah, so I mean, those are the Corona Gordas. If you include the Ramon Iones, I haven't smoked them. So I haven't smoked them all. But in my opinion, Juan Lopez and H. Upman are probably number one and number two. Probably H. Upman number one.
We've got on Cigar Federation, there's a gentleman named Charlie who's a newer member there, and he seems to be, I invited him over to the Habanos Forum, which is forum.habanoscritic.com, because he's been reviewing a lot of Habanos, and he reviewed the Hoyo Epicure number one, I believe he said, let me see what year.
2007.
And he seemed to think that it was a rather full body, and our good buddy Guy from France.
Gotta love Guy.
And said, Guy, I keep saying Guy. He liked the review, but he didn't think they were as strong as you say. And he specifically said in 2008 they were really strong. But
I trust Guy, man. I trust him.
I do. Well, he says he's been smoking these like for, I mean, God knows he's probably been smoking them for 40 years. But he really thinks they were very honeyish and less earthy than they are today. And I'm not going to say that I agree with him because I don't have as much experience with that Batola, but. My experience with the Oyos that age is they do pick up that honeyish flavor. So,
I think that a lot of the Oyos really do show those honey qualities. And it makes some great little morning cigars or just, you know, lighter cigars, which so many people enjoy.
Oh yeah, the guys from Bodega brought us some DCs at IPCPR.
Bodega cigars, the Aperitivo Digestivo that I need a friggin'.
They're good. They're good. It's a very interesting cigar. But they brought us a couple DCs, and Robbie like and Logan. DC? I like it. I love it. It's light. I love it. So of course I love it.
That's very light.
Robbie and Logan were just sitting there smoking these things, like, dude, these are so light, and they're so, like, oh my God, and I'm like, yeah, chugging on that thing. You know, Logan couldn't really
Logan's
grasp.
Probably pouring sriracha and kerosene on it just to get some kick.
Sriracha and kerosene. That dude smoked. He was chain smoking like 20 cigars a day.
Logan's palate must be shot all the damn time. That's why I don't trust his reviews. I hope he's fucking watching just so he pays attention to that.
It's okay. He and I love to hate on each other, so he hates it when he likes a cigar that I like. It's great.
Yeah. So and me too. He gets irritated when it's like, how do you like that? I'm like, dude, it's a good stick. So
anyways,
yeah, so I mean those are the Corona Gordas, and you know, it's I think it's probably the best size out there, and yes, I prefer a lot of smaller ring gauges a lot of the times, but I'll say, why I think it's the best is because it gives you that perfect balance between the wrapper and the filler. And some people say a 5x50 gives you the perfect balance. I disagree. I think a Corona Gorda actually really gives you the best balance.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I've always really liked Pyramids. You know, Bellicosa, Torpedoes, whatever the hell you want to call them.
Pyramids.
And I've always liked them. But being a small ring gauge guy, you know, the really small rings don't offer as much complexity. You got to get into the bigger ring gauges, in my opinion, because that's when they start adding more leaves, really. And the 46 is just, it's like you get that, you can get an hour and a half out of a good one, very complex experience, and I think this is outside of Habanos as well. The Padrones in the 46 ring gauge are very, very, very good. This year I reviewed Ortega's Maduro. I don't remember which number it is, but whatever number the 46 ring gauge is
number 7.
Freaking amazing. You know what I mean? So
I don't, because I hate Ortega's shit.
You suck balls. But I think really that 46 ring gauge is probably my favorite of any ring gauge, really. If I had to choose one, I would a Corona Gorda. I think I could deal with.
Yeah, it's. I mean, I just think it gives everyone that opportunity to really get the wrapper, but also get those fillers. I think it's just, I don't know, to me it's very balanced, and so it makes it a great size.
In the meantime, how is your Juan Lopez number 2 smoking?
Dude, I'm wolfing it down, and I got a shit ton more I'm going to smoke, but I mean, I'm wolfing it, so it's tasty.
El Rey de Mundo is really killing it for me right now. So
that's a really, really good smoke.
Yeah,
it's light, but it's good.
I need to finish grad school so I can have boxes of these.
I need to get more of these damn things. So it's
So anyway, should we move on to the Q&A of the show? We got 15 minutes left.
Yeah, because you get the questions and I never know what they are, so I'm looking forward to them.
What the hell is that stick that you were holding?
Dude, this is my walking pimp stick.
You're walking. Oh, let me see it. What is it? It looks like an ostrich head.
It is a. Look at that. Where'd I got you this. Get that? It's from Romania, man. It's Romania. That's so awesome. this is my Romanian walking beat stick. So yeah, man. So let's Q&A this up. Let's begin.
Okay. So I only got a couple questions, and
we'll roll with them.
And I wanted to keep them. Well, I wanted to keep these. I have some other ones, but I think they'll go on a little too long. So I have these two, and they kind of play off of each other. So The first one is, and this comes from Miguel. I have heard cigar smokers that have smoked CCs say that they would never smoke anything else, and I always ask myself, why would you do that? As someone who enjoys a multitude of different cigars and with limited experience with CCs, I often wonder, are they that good? And if so, what makes them so life-changing that you would close your minds or palate to anything else? What are your thoughts on this?
I smoke Habanos and I smoke non-Cuban. And both are completely different. Yeah. I don't think you can compare. When people say, oh, Don Pepin, he makes Cuban cigars. No, he doesn't.
No,
Pepin's,
not at all.
Pepin's stuff is nowhere near it. I think you put it perfectly when you said, you know, when you have a Habanos, it's a clean finish. You know what I mean? Like, my palate doesn't feel like it's just been raped. I'm sorry for using that term. But it's like my palate... my palate doesn't feel like after I smoked them, it's like, wow, it's just... I think Habanos makes very balanced cigars. I think they can make really flavorful cigars. I don't think all their cigars are great, but I do think they can make some terrific ones. And I have a pretty diverse palate, so I smoke a lot of things throughout. Obviously, I've been smoking more with the show. But to me, they're easy cigars in the sense of, you know, you can really sit back, you can enjoy them, you can pick up flavors, and they're not going to kill you. So I can see why people kind of just start gravitating towards Habanos just because of that. It's one of those things that's a little bit maybe more relaxing in some ways, I guess you could say. They're not as, like, going to kill you. But then again, it comes down to smoking real Habanos, and that's what it's about. Because as Habanos will tell you, you know, all Habanos are Cuban cigars, but not all Cuban cigars are Habanos. So that's why I try to refer to them as Habanos. How would you answer that question?
Well, the first thing I would say is it's going to be harder for somebody like him to understand because he has limited experience.
Yeah.
One of the things that you'll hear some of the not necessarily Cuban snobs, you'll hear Cuban snobs say this, but you also hear more experienced Habano smokers say, you smoke Cubans for a month and then get back to me. Yeah. And what I mean by that is really like what you said with in regards to the clean finish. If you only smoke Cuban cigars for a month and then you go try and smoke, say, Manowar Ruination or a Diesel, you know, you're gonna puke. I mean, and not from the nicotine. It's just your palate is gonna be disgusting. It's just gonna be like, this is crap. Or if you go and smoke like a Dom Pepin, you're just gonna toss it immediately. And so, for me, I think once you start to develop that palate for Habanos, it helps you appreciate quality tobaccos from other areas, because it comes down to the finish. And a very, very good example of that is 1502 Black Gold. Give a little shout out to my buddy Enrique and the 1502 cigars.
I like that cigar, by the way. I like it.
Oh, I can't even smoke it. I can't make it through it. I can't. His cigars are really, really spicy and powerful. All of them. His idea of a mild cigar is like full body to me, which is hilarious. But at the end of the day, all of his cigars are very balanced and they have a clean finish. They're just really, really, really heavy on your palate. Habanos are not heavy on your palate at all. Specifically, yeah. Aged Habanos. They gain this like power to them without any kind of heaviness. And so as you develop a palate for Habanos, you're less likely to gravitate towards some of the heavier non-Cuban cigars that are out there, really. And so to me, it's not necessarily what makes them better, because I think that can be done outside of Cuba. They're obviously unique, and each growing region is unique. I mean, when you consider how light-finished, you know, Davidovs are, and they've been selling, you know, high-end cigars for decades and competing directly with them in Europe, side by side, and they don't have a problem getting $15, $20, $30 a cigar, you know. I mean, it obviously can be done, and people like Davidovs, and Davidovs are really mild and clean. They're more expensive. I don't have, you know, $15 to spend on a Petite Corona, but they're good, you know. Yeah. So really, I guess what it comes down to for me is, lately in Nicaragua, I've been finding more and more cigars that have that clean finish without the palate burn. Regis and Alojo are two that really, really stand out to me in that regard. And so...
Alojo's is in... Yeah. Not to interrupt, but Alojo is it gets it. They get it.
And the Regis Black Label Robusto, I think, really gets it too.
Oh yeah.
And but they're different. They don't taste like Habanos. They finish like Habanos, I should say. But at the end of the day, really, I think it is it's you're doing yourself a disservice by not smoking from every region, because there are really good cigars from every region. You can smoke a Padron Maduro that will be unbelievably fantastic with a clean finish. You can smoke a high-end Padron Family Reserve Natural. Unbelievably, tons of depth and complexity. Zenos and Davidoffs and Avos. Great, great, very unique flavors to them. All the Kellner Boutique Factory stuff I'm real big on. Tons of depth and complexity, different flavors. Great finish to them. They don't overpower your palate at all. And, you know, those to me, those cigars... I love them, and I have humidors full of all Kellner stuff and Kellner Boutique Factory stuff and the Regis and the Lojo, because they finish really well. They're just different. And I think if you don't go out and experience everything that's out there, you're going to miss out on a lot of stuff, you know?
Absolutely. You know, it's funny because we were talking about Davidoff earlier, but, you know, I'm going to show this. This is the Davidoff Nicaragua, and for those of you who haven't smoked it, this is a Nicaraguan puro that is unlike any other puro that's of Nicaraguan tobacco. And it's, to me, you know, and I actually talked about this with Jose Blanco, and he asked me, what did I think of it? And I said, this is the most Dominican Nicaraguan ever, or the most Dominican Nicaraguan ever, depending on how you want to look at it. And he said, yes, it's probably going to be the, you know, it may not do well in the United States market completely. I mean, it's doing well because Cigar Aficionado gave it a high ranking.
Yeah.
But it'll do well in the worldwide market because this is going to show those clean finish qualities which you get with Davidoff and Habanos, but it's also going to provide you with a Nicaraguan puro to a different extent.
Yeah.
And that is why, you know, I'm not saying this tastes like Cubans, but this is the direction of the cigars are going, and it's one of those, it's a tasty finish.
So the back question, the back end question on that, and I don't remember who asked this one, but somebody asked, are there any non-Cuban cigars that you would prefer over Cubans? And my answer to that question would be, not necessarily prefer, because I'll be honest. I mean, if you said, you know, would you rather have, well, you know, I'll be honest. I mean, I could deal with just Regis the rest of my life. I mean, I love Regis, and I love Alojo. So if you said you don't get to smoke, like if it came down to there's no more Habanos in the States, I smoke a ton of Regis and Alojo already, ton of Regis. But I would smoke more of mine. I would have no problem with it. I mean, right now, as far as I'm concerned, Regis, Alojo, and Avo Classic and Avo XO, I could smoke those every day and be completely happy, you know.
And so
for me, I guess I think the best question is, what are some non-Cubans that you like as a Habanos aficionado? And that's what I would say. I love Avo. I love Davidoff when money affords it. And I love Alojo and Regis. I think right now for the money are freaking unbelievable.
Yeah, Alojo. So Alojo would definitely be one. Davidoff Millennium Blend. I really am a big fan of the Davidoff Millennium Blend, and I think
it
offers. I really love the Robusto. That Robusto size is just, to me, it's just a great Robusto size.
Same with the Special R.
I need to reach out to Special R. So, Davidoff Alojo. The Goldies, and I know they're limited editions, but the La Palina Goldies made in Miami are really, to me, kind of those types of, you know, cigars. Those would be pretty good right there.
The Chinook Cellars Pressoir, or whatever it is, I don't know how to say it, but that one really, really blew my mind. I mean, it was such a great mild to medium Habano-esque, and that was blended by Willie, you know, same factory that the Legitos are coming out of.
Yeah. Hedley, Hedley Grange, actually. I really like those. I just like that. Ecuadorian Sumatra is a rapper that can do very well with a blend, and it can offer some interesting, I'm not saying Cuban qualities, but it can bring it down. I mean, sometimes it can make it too much, but to me, that's a rapper that can really do some good things. You know, Ecuador Sumatra when it's done right. But I mean, you know, Elojo, Davidoff, those La Palina Goldies. You know, Regis Robusto is a really tasty Robusto, actually.
Yeah.
I have some Coronas. The Coronas are pretty good, but the Robustos are really good.
The Petit Coronas need age, but the I've got some that are 3 years old now, and they're friggin' wicked good. But the Robusto is unbelievable.
I like Epernays. I know you don't like Epernays as much.
No, they're not bad. I'm not a huge fan. The other one that I would say is Curavari as well. That's the other brand that really. Have you had the El Gran Rey from them yet?
They've got
like four red bands and
they have a bunch of them, and it's like what the hell?
Three of them suck. Two of them suck.
Yeah.
But the El Gran Rey was really, really creamy and smooth. It was really good. And I like the Selection Privada as well. The Selection Privada made my top list last year, and the White Band Torpedo, the Reserva 4000, made my top list the year before. And those are really unique. I mean, they don't remind me of Habanos, but they have that citrus, floral, and just that banging Corojo flavor that kills, you know.
Yeah.
Nicaragua, so.
You know, it's I really, you know, Atelier, the original Ateliers.
The original, but then they got heavy to me.
Not, you know, like, it's like 52, 54, 56, but it's like those, the 52 and the 54s, 52 is a little bit stronger, the 54 is a little bit softer, I think. Mm-hmm. It's a little bit heavier, but To me, it's flavorful. It's pretty clean. I can smoke a bunch of them and really enjoy them. But you know, to be honest with you, it's a lot of these guys, you know, and the people, you know, you have like Cas Fernandez and you have Don Pepin and you have these other guys in Nicaragua or wherever who used to be making cigars in Cuba who are now making cigars for the American market. They're making cigars for our market. So they're not making these blends which Habanos was making. I mean, you know, yeah, they studied there, but it's just not the same. It's like A.J. Fernandez studied under Robiana, and look at his stuff. I mean, you can't tell me that a Man of War is anything like, or a Diesel is anything like coming out of Cuba.
No.
So.
No. Although I have heard, and this is from a very reliable source, that he has some European releases that are very Cuban-esque, and apparently, now that he has his you know, tobacco farm, he's had a farm, and he's got his new factory down there. I've heard he's holding some killer Ometepe, which the Ometepe is the volcanic, it's a little volcano island in the middle of Lake Nicaragua that has some very Cubanesque tobacco, and that's what you're finding in a lot of these plants. Nobody says that they'll use it. I know several blends that use it, and I'm not going to say who just because I've been told that. But a lot of the cigars that are going for the Cuban-esque flavor profile tend to use it.
Davidoff Nicaragua uses it.
Yeah. And I've heard he's holding on to some really, really, really good stocks. So I wouldn't be surprised if he puts something out along those lines here soon. We'll see. I've heard he has a limited edition coming out this year that is supposed to be fantastic. So
I'm looking forward to it. Then I mean,
Corona Gordas. Speaking of Corona Gordas, I'm going to throw down a little bit of hate real quick because I was at a Tatuay event last night.
Oh yes, here we go. Yes, let's do this because I discovered this today and I'm a little perturbed.
They have the Tat Black Corona Gorda.
Yes,
and
the new black label.
And it comes in a jar. Yeah, and I was just really, really, really...
disappointed. I was disappointed as hell. I was going to get a jar.
I don't know. I didn't want to say anything mean because it's not a jar. It's a plastic cup. And
yeah, very, very
when you consider all these jar releases that have come out of Habanos that are just completely badass, you know, just unbelievable, you know, just decorative and just collectible and look awesome, and all these different kinds that have come out, and then you have a plastic that's like a coffee can, dude. You
that's what you buy cheap crap in. Yeah, it's cheap.
I mean, I
don't know if it's cheap. I don't know about the cost, but it's. I'm very disappointed. I thought it was going to be something different than
it's
what
cheap
it is.
Bullshit. Because if you ask me, that to me turned me off of buying them for myself, because I'm like, if he's going to skimp on this jar and call it a jar, call a plastic thing a jar. I mean, that's lame, dude. Especially when you look at it's a plastic cup. I mean, like, somebody put a red Solo cup in the freaking chat box, and it's what it is. It's like, can I go fill up my beer with this from the keg?
It's a goblet. You can fill up anything with
it. It's not even a goblet. I wouldn't even give it that good of recognition. It's not a goblet. It's a plastic piece of shit.
Yeah, I know. I saw it, and I was like, God damn. You know, it's funny. Doc Will actually asked, you know, where's the Tatuai European release tuna? And I'll tell you, I smoked it, and it's really tasty.
Is it?
And yeah, it's very good. I really liked it. I don't know where it is. I mean, Pete was supposed to release it, and then he was supposed to do these cigars, which were the European release is what came in the Saints and Sinners kit, which I'm a member of, and it is based off of this event exclusive cigar that he was going to do 15 years ago. And none of them made it. I don't know. It didn't make it to the European market, or I didn't hear anything about it. And the other stuff wasn't even, you know, put out there for events. So I don't know what the hell happened of it. I really liked it. But, you know, that's a darn good question, Doc Will. And what I would say is go ask Pete, what the hell, man? Where is this stuff? Because I don't know. It's just, it disappeared. He was too busy worried about the Red Solo cups to actually get around and making those cigars.
I had to meet real quick. I had helicopters flying around me.
I know. I heard that. I was like, man, what's going on?
It's, you know, they're watching us, dude. They're watching
us. Always watching. It's those black helicopters. Talk to Dion about it. Dion talked about the black helicopters.
Seriously, dude. Chemtrails.
Oh my gosh. You know about chemtrails?
Dude, I live in Bakersfield, man. We got chemtrails all over the place every day.
So you watch Coast to Coast.
I don't know what that is. I just know all of us farmers out here who work in the farms. You see the chemtrails everywhere, dude.
It's chemtrails. They ain't contrails. Those are chemtrails.
Yeah, exactly.
So, oh man, that just made my evening.
Anyways, I will say that the box that the Petite Lancero comes in, it's a vertical little black decorative box, and I think it looks freaking awesome.
Yeah, the box is great. The jar sucks.
Just do that, but you know, to put out a plastic jar is bullshit. You know,
it's kind of a shame to the cigar because the cigar has been waiting for these jars. You know, it's like these cigars were ready in 2013 because I have a Mazo of the cigars that were released without the jar.
Okay.
So I have them. I mean, I have them just chilling in my humidor. I'm not going to smoke them, but I was like, oh, I'm going to get a jar.
Yeah,
and then I went in the shop today, and the guy finally got the jars in, and I had them, and I picked one up. I was like, "Damn, I was waiting for this. Never mind."
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it turned me off to trying the cigar last night. I'll be completely honest, it did.
Yeah,
you know, now the tattoo, seeing the tattoo out for $5 in California, I thought was really cool. So I bought a few of those, and what else did I get? I can't remember what else I got. I got a bunch of stuff. I actually got some of the black Robustos. They have event only Robustos.
Yeah. Oh, nice.
Scored some of those and scored some Corona Gordas for one of the guys and can't remember what else I got. Atelier Lancero. But,
did you get the Lanceros? Damn, I want to smoke those damn things.
I haven't tried it yet. We'll see.
We'll see.
I did get, which I need to show off this week because it's the most pimp thing ever.
Big pimp thing.
And we're going over time, but...
it doesn't matter. We got viewers watching. It's not like anything else is going on otherwise.
Exactly. I got this pimp tube.
Sweet.
See it. It says Catfish Blues on it.
Catfish Miguel, Blues.
Miguel Rocha sent me this as a gift. And listen, if you can hear it. Could you hear that?
Oh, man.
And this thing is so heavy, like, I could seriously beat somebody to death with this thing. I mean, I could pop this open and stab somebody in the neck if I wanted to get all crazy, like, Joe Pesci style, you know what I mean? It's really just, bah!
So what can you put in there?
It's a cigar tube, you dumbass.
I know, but, like, what size, schmuck?
Oh. That's not what I'm asking, you dumbass. I fit a Lancero in there, so I know size-wise, if I had to guess size-wise,
over seven inches.
7 by 50.
Okay.
I haven't seen if a double Corona will go in it, but I know. I mean, at least I could put a 7 by 47 in it, easy. 7 by 50 at an absolute minimum. So
I'll have to see if I can, but
I just wanted to say thank you to Miguel because this is really cool. I mean. I do, as much as I come off as a redneck at times, I do, you know, wear dress clothes on a daily basis. I do wear ties on occasion, and I have suits. So I don't mind, you know, getting all dapper from time to time. And when I do, I always have, you know, a little flask with a little bourbon or something in there. And this is something that I would have in my pocket for those moments because this is really, really nice. That and I have this freaking Zippo. You can't see it, but it's a Zippo torch, cigar torch. It's dead, but it says Fender on it as well. I'm being a musician. I got that as a gift from a good friend of mine, my buddy Big T Todd, who's a smoker, and he's been around the boards forever. And so, I don't know. Stuff like that really, really is, to me, it's special stuff, because you can send anybody a cigar, but sending somebody something like this where my name engraved on it, that was pretty cool. So
that's pretty sweet, man.
It's a sweet tube. I can even get my Bill Clinton on with it, you know, if I want to get dirty.
Get on and get dirty.
It was a Gurkha. If I'm hanging out with my boy Juan Lopez and Rafael Gonzalez, you know.
Sancho Panza, too, man. Sancho Panza's a dirty mofo.
Sancho Panza, he's dirty. Getting our Havana Club on, some cigar tubes, you know.
Oh, man, I need some more Havana Club.
Hanging out with a bunch of hoes down in Cuba.
Oh, yeah. Word. Well, that's about it of our show, which actually...
Yeah, this is the most off-the-cuff show ever, I think.
But we talked about a crap line. You know, Logan's going to be like, hey, what'd you guys talk about so I can put it up on iTunes? I'm going to be like, I have no fucking idea.
I don't know. So, we talked about Corona Gordas.
That's what I'm going to tell them. We talked about stuff. So
we did talk about chemtrails for a second, which is awesome.
Chemtrails, man. That's just.
I wonder if the Bonny Ventura smokes cigars, dude. If he smokes cigars, we should get him on. That would be badass, dude.
Maybe.
That would be badass. We should see if there's any professional wrestlers out there that smoke cigars that we can get on.
Probably. I'm sure we could get someone on the show. Yeah, but we do, for one of our shows, we gotta get some of these non-Cuban guys to get on the show. Maybe we'll have to get Vixen, because I know you want Vixen on the show. And
she was really cool. I mean, I very, very much appreciated what she had to say about the industry, and appreciated her opinions and what she's looking to do, you know? As far as what she wants to do, and I somebody got kind of butthurt at me in the chat that day because I was like, you know, I always question these cigar figures in the world because it's like, what are you trying to do? Are you just going to try and be some hot chick that's like, hey, I review cigars, this is really good, you know? Because most of them, it's not just the ladies, it's not just the Sisters of the Leaf. In all honesty, most of these, you know, a lot of these reviewers, I follow everybody on Twitter, and I try and, you know, retweet when I'm on Twitter and support other reviewers that are out there. But sometimes I'll pick them up and I'm like, their reviews like, oh, it was creamy and then it was chocolatey. It was really good, and I'd buy this again. It was awesome. It was the greatest thing ever. Yeah. And I'm like, dude, that's not a review. Like, come on, man. You know, at least show that you, like, have some kind of palate or writing skill. you know, was just like writing in Spanglish and just retardedness, and it's like, dude, you can't even write. Like, get out of here.
Spanglish. So, no, man, I hear you.
Anyways.
And with that,
thus concluding the show of rants and raves and random BS, if you will.
Rants and raves and random BS. So, but yeah, we'll be back. We need to work on the dates because we kind of just scheduled through May. I got a wedding next weekend, so we'll have to coordinate. But
that's
what
we did this weekend.
That's why. So find us at forums.habanoscritic.com. You can also find us at habanoscritic.com, or you can just go to Cigar Federation, and in the top right, you'll see something that says Cubans, and you can click on that, and it will take you to our magical land.
Mm-hmm.
And that's about it, man. Catfish.
That's also where you can find our show, too.
If you it is.
Because we're broadcasted on CigarFederation.com. So when you go to CigarFederation.com, if you look up in the top, you'll see shows, pull the drop down, and you can go to What Embargo, which we do need to add that link on the What Embargo on the Habanos Critic page. So
I thought it was there.
It's not. I was in the shop last night showing a bunch of these guys who were like, what? And one of the guys had watched the show, and there's the guy that said, you look really huge on your podcast. And I was showing them the website, so they're all, you know, looking up the website on their phone, and I was like, yeah, just go see where it says show. Yeah, just click on that, and you click on it, and it's not there. So I was like, oops, we should work on that.
We should get that perfected. But yeah. Well, good.
One
deal.
Last thing, how did your cigar finish?
Oh, wonderful! Cigar finish. It finished so well that I'm about to go light up another one because it was just tasty as hell. How about yours?
Awesome. It's one of those floral cigars at first that really turns into the creamy, earthy kind of taste at the end. And for Robusto, I used to not like most Robustos, and I've just so fallen.
And then Catfish froze right on the ending. So, well, thank you all. We're going to end it on that. That's the end of the show. What Embargo, episode 7. And we'll let you know when our next show is. I'm Big Tuna. Catfish is frozen. Good night. And God bless.